chapter 14, verses 23 to 42. And after taking the cup and giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the covenant, that is poured out for many. I tell you the truth. I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if they all fall away, I will not." Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth. Today, this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I must die with you, I will never deny you." And all of them said the same thing. Then they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter and James and John with him and became very troubled and distressed. He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to the point of death. Remain here and stay alert." Going a little farther, he threw himself to the ground and prayed, "If it were possible, the hour would pass from him." He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray, that you may not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again and prayed the same thing. When he came again, he found them sleeping. They could not keep their eyes open, and they did not know what to tell him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough of that. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is approaching." These are the words of our Lord. A reading from John chapter 18. When he had said these things, Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley. There was an orchard there, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, the one who betrayed him, knew the place too, because Jesus had met there many times with his disciples. So Judas obtained a squad of soldiers and some officers of the chief priests and Pharisees. They came to the orchard with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, because he knew everything that was going to happen to him, came and asked them, "Who are you looking for?" They replied, "Jesus the Nazarene." He told them, "I am he." Now Judas, the one who betrayed him, was standing there with them. So when Jesus said to them, "I am he," they retreated and fell down to the ground. Then Jesus asked them again, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus replied, "I tell you that I am he. If you are looking for me, let these men go." He said this to fulfill the word he had spoken. "I have not lost a single one of those whom you gave me." And then Simon Peter, who had a sword, pulled it out and struck the high priest's slave, cutting off his right ear. Now the slave's name was Malchus. But Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that my Father has given me?" Then the squad of soldiers with their commanding officer and officers of the Jewish leaders arrested Jesus and tied him up. These are the words of our Lord. A reading from John chapter 18 and leading into chapter 19. While this was happening, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus replied, "I have spoken publicly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple courts, where all the Jewish people assembled together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said. They know what I said." When Jesus had said this, one of the high priest's officers who stood nearby struck him on the face and said, "Is that the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus replied, "If I have said something wrong, confirm what is wrong. If I spoke correctly, why strike me?" Then Annas sent him, still tied up, to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was standing in the courtyard, warming himself. They said to him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" Peter denied it, "I am not." One of the high priest's slaves, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the orchard with him?" Then Peter denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they brought Jesus from Caiaphas to the Roman governor's residence. Now it was the very early evening. They did not go into the governor's residence so that they would not be ceremonially defiled, but could eat the Passover meal. So Pilate came outside to them and said, "What accusations do you bring against this man?" They replied, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate told them, "Take him yourself and pass judgment on him according to your own law." The Jewish leaders replied, "We cannot legally put anyone to death." This happened to fulfill the word Jesus had spoken when he decided what was wrong, the kind of death that he was going to die. So Pilate went back into the governor's residence and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own people and your chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my servants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Then Pilate said, "So you are a king?" Jesus replied, "You say that I am a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And Peter asked, "What is truth?" When he had said this, he went back outside to the Jewish leaders and announced, "I find no basis for an accusation against him, but it is your custom that I release one prisoner to you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They all shouted back, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a revolutionary. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged severely. The soldiers braided a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they clothed him in a purple robe. They came up to him again and again and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him repeatedly in the face. Again, Peter went out and said to the Jewish leaders, "Look, I bring no charges to you, so that you may know that I find no reason for an accusation against him." So Jesus came outside wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Look, here is the man." These are the words of our Lord. A reading from John chapter 19. When the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said, "You take him and crucify him. Certainly I find no reason for an accusation against him." The Jewish leaders replied, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard what they said, he was more afraid than ever, and he went back into the governor's residence and said to Jesus, "Where do you come from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you know that I have the authority to release you or to crucify you?" Jesus replied, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it was given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From this point on, Pilate tried to release him. But the Jewish leaders shouted out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat down on the judgment seat in the place called the Stone's Pavement. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover afternoon. And Pilate said to the Jewish leaders, "Look, here is your king." And they shouted out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked, "Shall I crucify your king?" The high priest replied, "We have no king except Caesar." Then Pilate handed him over to be crucified. We look at this time to the seven words of our Lord that he spoke from the cross. That first word, Father, forgive them. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. They led him out to crucify him. And a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when we will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means a place of the skull. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write 'The King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. It was the third hour when they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, but the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." We extinguish the first candle. The second word that Jesus spoke, "You will be with me in paradise." Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teacher of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. We extinguish the second candle. The third word that Jesus spoke from the cross, here is your mother. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's divide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. We extinguish the third candle. The fourth word that Jesus spoke, Father, why have you forsaken me? It was about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. We extinguish the fourth candle. For a brief meditation tonight, I want to draw your attention to the sixth word that Jesus spoke. For when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. As I saw a couple and gave them communion, there was a plaque on their wall that basically said, it is finished. While true, I often commanded. Well, not exactly true. As recorded in Greek of St. John's Gospel, our Lord's sixth word from the cross was not three, but only one. Taleo. Well, join me tonight in considering what might be the most single, most important word ever spoken when Jesus said those final words, it is finished. He paid for all of our sin. It's the end of another week of work. And maybe we really don't want to sit here and listen to another sermon or some lesson from Greek. But just imagine. Imagine that when you came to work one day, your boss said to you, amazing work. I'm not quite sure how you did it, but you did do it. Did what? You asked. You absolutely, perfectly finished every job in this country that was assigned to you. And you brought the country such unprecedented success that we're going to reward you. Reward, yes. You don't have to come to work anymore. Not another day in your life. Stay home, relax, vacation, golf, whatever you want. We don't care. Enjoy yourself. And don't worry about your finances. You'll be getting a regular paycheck in the mail all the time. We'll see to it that you're well taken care of the rest of your days. You deserve it. Well, kind of quick daydreaming right now. I'm still afraid you're going to have to go to work next week. But not Jesus. His redeeming work is finished. Absolutely, 100% finished. What did Jesus do? What did he come to do? In just a few words, Jesus spoke, "It is finished." His work, by going to a cross and suffering and dying on that cross for you. He did that for you. He did that to take care of all of your sin. Exactly what we needed. Because you see, we were very much sinners. Sinners in need of some forgiveness. And there's no way that we could pay that cross or pay that cost. Because each and every day we sin. Even if we sin only 3 times a day, if we live to be 70, that's still, how many sins does that add up to be? Thousands. And if we go before a righteous judge and ask for forgiveness for all of those sins, you think we would be forgiven. But we go before a righteous judge, Jesus Christ. And he sees in us sinners, people in need of forgiveness. And that's what he did. He took your sin and my sin. And as we hear from all the different readings tonight, he took them to a cross to be hung up on that cross, and from that cross, what did he say? It is finished. The price has been paid. All of your sins have been taken care of. He did that for you. He did that for each and every one of us. In his most precious name, amen. We continue with the fifth word. I thirst. Knowing that all was now completed, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked the sponge in it and put the sponge on a stick of a hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And the rest said, "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes down to save him." We extinguish the fifth candle. And that sixth word, probably the most important word as I just relayed to you, a word that really triumphs to me, all words, because Jesus said, "It is finished." We extinguish the sixth candle. And the seventh word that Jesus spoke as he hung there on that cross, "Father, I commit my spirit to you." Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs. And after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, when they came to Jesus and found he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that the scripture would be fulfilled, that not one of his bones would be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the cross they have pierced, or on the one they have pierced. When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. We extinguish the seventh candle. High and lifted up, nailed on that throne, despised and rejected of men, you are the Son of the everlasting God. And we fall down before you to worship you. This on the cross, this your final call to the world, If they see this, they will come. O gentle Savior, we behold your agony. Surely you are the Son of God. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. This on the cross, this is your final gift to us. You can't give more, dear Jesus. On Calvary, you have given all your best that we might live. No greater gift, no better sacrifice, no further purchase will come. The cross is full and final, total and a total payment for our sins. It is finished. We are safe. This on the cross, this is your Father's seal that what he promised is true. He means it when he pledges to prepare mansions in eternity for us. He is truthful when he whispers that our sins have been forgiven. He is earnest when he invites us to come to him for rest. The cross tells us that your Father stands behind his promise. He seals them with a sacrifice. This on the cross, this is the risk of all that you have done for us. Now with this last heroic deed, you rest. You go to the imprisoned spirits to announce your victory. What else can you do but give all that is yours? May your kingdom come. Draw us and everyone to you, dear Savior.